coming up is my interview with Gary Cantrell. So I found Gary. We're going to talk about the story in a minute, but I actually found Gary. I was at WrestleMania weekend in Orlando this past March/April. And I was clicking on the locations that I was at, and I clicked on a location. I saw this guy there. And I started kind of going through his feed, and he was talking about weight loss, and I have done the 100-pound weight loss. I know what that's like. So I started following him, and I've been following him for months and months and months to see his story. And it's really been amazing to kind of go through, see this transformation, see the side-by-side pictures, really see that he's continuing to truck along and that he's not sweating the small stuff. If it's not a big weight loss or even no weight loss for the week, he's okay with that, and he keeps going. And then also the big thing that I think really needs to be taken away is the sustainability approach that I talk about all the time. He is doing with absolute ferociousness in terms of making this sustainable for himself. So you're going to love this podcast. You're going to love this episode. Here it is. So I'm here with Gary Cantrell. Gary, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, so I came across your profile. So Gary Cantrell is he lives in Washington, D.C., and ironically, I found his Instagram profile when I was at WrestleMania in Orlando this year. That's how I found you. I think you checked in either like you might have checked in at Pritchard's show because we were both there, and
You were there.
I was there, and so I think probably what happened is that I checked into the venue, and then I clicked on, whomever it was else that was there. And then I probably saw you, and you probably had something about a weight loss journey there. And it caught my eye because I've done exactly the same thing. And I thought, okay, like where you can get the paths to cross between health, fitness, and wrestling, that's just about as perfect as it gets for me.
Well, if you remember, I was actually the guy who got called up on stage to chug the Jack.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. And then I think after that, you did a podcast not long after with Conrad, right?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. That was the first episode of my podcast, Gary Cantrell podcast.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Gary's also a podcaster, and a lot of what he's been talking about recently in particular is a weight loss journey. And so I'm looking at your profile now, and you started at 372 pounds. I watched the video that you posted a little bit earlier from your car, and it's like night and day difference. So I guess at this point in time, so when did you start? What was the first day in which you started this, this weight loss journey? And how much did you weigh on that day, and where are you at now? How long has it been?
January 3rd, I weighed in at 372 pounds. At my job, we actually have a big scale. So it's like one of these gigantic scales. You put pallets on it. Perfect for weighing a person, by the way, because it's able to weigh up to like over 2,000 pounds. So I get on there. I'm 372. And January 3rd was a Monday. And that was my first day in the gym ready to go.
So what, I guess, run me through like the last few years. Like how old are you now?
35.
So, how long have you been overweight? Like when, is this something that you've dealt with since you were a little kid? Or I guess like, you get into your teens, your 20s, and then you make this radical change at, you're not midlife, but you're also not a spring chicken anymore. So, long have you had... Have you been, you've been fighting off weight issues or whatever, and how long have you wanted to make a change?
Oh God. I, as far as I can remember, like probably even like preteen into teenage, cause I just remember getting bullied like crazy at school, hey, fat ass, this and that. And that was just, that was for years. And I kind of always wanted to make a change. The problem was that I couldn't stick to anything. And I got caught into this thing that I kind of talk about now. It's like we always want to, kind of Google solutions, quick fixes, or you have people in your family that are telling you got to do X, Y, and Z. And I had a very rebellious nature when I was younger and just said, no, I don't have to do anything. And so I'm like, well, because what they were saying I had to do was not fitting with what I wanted to do, as a result, I just got worse and worse and worse gradually.
And at your, it was 372, was that your peak or did it ever go higher than that?
It might have went higher actually, because I do remember probably a couple weeks before I started, I had quit I had quit drinking soda, and this was kind of not even like, it wasn't me just saying I'm going to quit soda. I just kind of just for whatever reason to stop drinking it all together. And I was probably like closer to 380, 390 realistically before I actually started the journey. And then through cutting out soda kind of just on a whim, I think I probably dropped, you know, a little bit here and there before I actually started. And I've always been the kind of person where I'm always going somewhere. So I'm always doing a lot of walking. Like right before January 3rd, I was in New York City. So I'm like walking 30,000 steps a day. I mean, just crazy numbers of walking. So that probably helped too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What's, okay. So you decided to make this change in January and, you know, we're all the way into October now. And I kind of have a philosophy about this stuff. It's been a long time since I went through my triple digit weight loss, but, you know, essentially if people start in January, by March, quite a few of them are gone. Like the gym industry, the fitness industry makes so much more money in Q1 than they're ever going to make. They're ever going to sniff probably Q2 through 4 combined. And so it's been 9 months. You're still here. You know, I watch your weigh-ins every single week. I get to see that. What I love to see from you is that I think ultimately, especially when people first start, is that they may lose 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds in a week. And I see you okay with it being 2 or 3 or 4, whatever the number is. I guess talk through how, you know, have you hit plateaus yet? Have you gotten to a point where it's like, oh gosh, maybe this is really tough and it's tough to continue? You know, tell me about, I guess, some of the stuff around that, how you can fight off complacency or, you know, sort of getting stuck in a rut.
Yeah. Well, to your first point, my very first week I was down 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is great. You know, that moment when you kind of just shock your body, you just grab yourself and you just shake the hell out of your body and you say, oh my God, like, look what you can do when you actually start moving.
Yeah.
But no, I've had, you know, some points here where it's kind of just gotten stagnant. Like August was kind of a rough month where it would kind of either not move or go up a pound or two. And I've really got this kind of philosophy, and I know I'm not the only one. I'm never claiming to be the pioneer of it, but I definitely amplify it to the people that follow me on Instagram that I connect with. And that is that, you know, your goal number, your goal weight number never changes, but the week to week always changes, almost always. And so there's no reason to get hung up on the week to week. I mean, yes, record it, remember it for a moment, put it in your MyFitnessPal app, and then get back to work, because the next week, then that number is going to be different. So why get hung up on a number that's going to change the very next week when you should really be focused, I mean, super focused on your goal weight number. And that's kind of my philosophy of it.
Hey, do you have enough data at this point to make a decent prediction on when you should be hitting that goal number?
June or July of next year. Awesome. And that's accounting for a couple of, you know, gains here or there, or a couple of weeks of maintaining, which this week was a maintain. And I'm not, you know, I'm not mad about it. I see people online all the time that say, oh my God, my week's crushed. My day's crushed. I gained 1.5 pounds. Or I've even seen people that say the same thing for, I gained 0.5 pounds. And I just say, why?
Yeah.
You're on this journey. It's a long-term journey. You have to just keep going. Not that they're going to stop, but some people do. You know, they get a little kind of upset about it and a little stressed about it, and they want to give up. And I just say, that's, you can't give up. You got to keep going. You got to keep fighting every day. And for me, that's what I do. It's just like, if I maintain, if I gain 1 pound, so what? This is the long term. And I actually posted a picture probably 2 weeks back, which was one of those graphs from MyFitnessPal, where I circled the little times where it would maintain or go up a tick or two, but the overall picture was going down. It's like, how do you not look at the big picture and say to yourself, well, this is really where it's going. Like, why am I getting hung up on this week or that week?
Yeah.
It's just going straight down when you have, like what you said, enough data to see which direction you're going in. Now, if you're going up and down like a roller coaster, okay, let's be a little more concerned about it. But if you're steady going down with a few little ticks up here, there, no big deal. That's what I say.
Yeah, I mean, there was even, I'm looking, this is just from 4 days ago, where you had maintained, but, you know, it's your attitude's good, right? Like, you're recognizing that kind of stuff is okay. And a lot of what my show is about has to do with, I hate the word mindset, but I'm having a tough time coming up with a word that equates to mindset and means the same thing, but is completely different, because I think mindset's thrown around. I think it's just used way too much. But like your frame of mind and the determination that's really behind it, I guess comment a little bit on, you know, you wake up and here's a good example. So this episode isn't airing until November 1st, but a couple of nights ago you were watching, I was following your Instagram story all night as you're going through and watching this Raider game.
And, yes.
And Derek Carr is my fantasy quarterback. So I know what you're going through. And Marshawn Lynch is my, you know, he was Seattle's hero, right? So like a little, right. There's a little connection between the green and blue and the black and silver. So it, you know, it was one beer, then two beers, then 12 beers. And I kept thinking like, oh man, it's funny because I'm watching this and I'm going, is he going to get to the gym tomorrow? Is he going to, and then, you know, sure enough, you talked about how tough it was, but you were still there. And so, you know, something is dragging your ass out every single day to go and do it. So I guess talk a little bit about, you know, that continued drive and determination and mindset, for lack of a better word, behind all that.
Previous failure, that's what gets me out of bed every day. I tried, Eddie, probably 7 or 8 times in the past over the last 10 years to kickstart something, whether that was I'm going to the gym or I'm going to try this new slim fast deal or whatever. You know, I've tried all this other stuff. 7, 8 times I just quit. I fell flat on my face. And that's within the first month. You talked about Q1. That's me. That was me 7 to 8 times failing left and right. So the constant remembrance, the reminder of those failures is what gets my ass out of bed every day. And I get up and I go to work and then I go to the gym 5 times a week, every single week. There is no quit. And that's why I have the Instagram. That's the whole reason. And I went and I followed a ton of people, number one, to learn and support these folks, but also because some of these people are going to look back at what I'm doing. And if I stop posting, they're going to see that, they're going to know that, and they're going to say, where are you at, Gary? What's going on? So there's this accountability thing. This is huge for me that I've got, I don't know, what is it, 1,100 people that follow me that are going to see that if I stop, you know, they're going to know this. And so there is no quit. But it's not that I'm doing it for everybody else. I'm doing it for me ultimately, 1,000%. I nearly died 3 years ago, and I'm not going to let that happen. At least anything that I can control, rather. So,
well, so yeah. that's a good natural segue. Tell me about what happened 3 years ago.
So 3 years ago, I had a bacterial infection in my leg. It actually stemmed from an ingrown toenail that I never had gotten it taken care of for many years. I'm very stubborn when it comes to the doctors. I'll be the first to tell you that. But I let it go. And I got this cellulitis and bacterial infection in my leg, and it got really bad to the point of where my temperature shot up, and the doctor was like, you know, we need to save this guy because we don't even know if we're going to save this guy. I was in the hospital for a week, laying on my back for a week, waiting to use that wrestling analogy, waiting to kick out. And I got out of there. And then for the next 2 years after that, it didn't change because the guy said, oh, well, your health, you know, man, you're not looking too good. You're way overweight. You got all these problems, X, Y, and Z. And, you know, for 2 more years, I didn't wake up. I still didn't kick out. I mean, I kicked out of that bed, but in life, I still didn't kick out. I needed to kick out. And finally, my mother, we had what some call like a come to Jesus meeting. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase, yep. But she was like, look, I'm going to make a deal with you. I said, all right, what's the deal? She said, you've been on me for years to quit smoking, and I've never done it. She said, well, I'm going to make you a deal. If you get in the gym and make a legitimate effort to lose weight, I'm going to quit smoking. And to me, Eddie, that was a deal of a lifetime. Now, I've been wanting to get into the gym and make something happen for me and just to change quality of life, but I didn't have the motivation. And this was kind of the thing that put me over the edge to really get it started. And we made that deal. She quit smoking, and I've lost 90 pounds as of right now.
That's awesome. So she, I mean, is she still smoke-free now, all these months later?
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's like, see, you know, people's motivation and intrinsic drive to really do a lot of this stuff, like, you know, conquer weight loss. First of all, if you're a teenager or you're in your 20s and you're trying to lose weight, that's one thing, and it's very tough, and that's the, you know, that's the life that I lived. You're doing right. It in your mid-30s, and so it's not as, you know, the weight, you can't just go to McDonald's and put down 3 Big Macs and a diet soda and have it.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. and expect it to literally, it's almost like you put in so much food, but your body's burning at such a high rate that it doesn't really matter what you're doing. Is it, you know, life just doesn't work that way in the 30s.
I was taking in over 3,000 calories a day before I started this whole thing.
Yeah.
I was, I have my job. I work for a marketing company, and my commute is over an hour each way. So in the morning, I'm stopping at like Wawa or McDonald's and getting a breakfast bagel, steak egg sandwich, or a steak burrito from Wawa every single morning. And then on the way home, because traffic's bad in the DC area, I'm stopping at McDonald's and I'm getting 2 to 3 McDoubles with Big Mac sauce put on them because I was cheap. And I would get either chicken nuggets or milkshakes. And I'm not bullshitting you here, Eddie. This is the real deal. I would go in there every single day. As much of a routine as the gym is for me now, McDonald's was my addiction problem. It was my routine. I was going in there every single day, 2 to 3 McDoubles on the way home, and then going home and eating dinner with my wife like nothing was going on. I had the worst problem with that, and I have been McDonald's free since December.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I went through a long period of time. It was probably, I bet it was 14 or maybe even 15 years in between me having stints at McDonald's, because Jack in the Box was really more my thing when I was a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought their fries were amazing, and the number 2 meal was my thing. And I had a friend who worked there, so I got it free every day after school. But it was just like you, every single day I would go, and yeah, you know, extra large, all that kind of stuff. And I hadn't had it since 2002. And then my wife and I were in London a few months back, and we went and had, I lift weights, and so it's like I'm much hungrier than a guy that weighs 160 or 65 pounds ever should be. But
sure.
But with that being said, like we went to some dinner, and it was like an Indian food place, highly rated. I went there, I hated it. My daughter hated it, and I didn't hate it, but it just wasn't fulfilling. So we get back to the place that we rented, and it was like, babe, I'm going to run and get us something to eat. And I think she thought that I was going to go to like their equivalent of a Whole Foods or of a PCC or something. And I came back with a bag of McDonald's for both of us. And it was like, this is awesome. We sat there, we watched Homeland, and we slammed hamburgers from McDonald's in a foreign country. It was awesome. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, this, like this metamorphosis, and you haven't touched it since. Tell me about some of those nutrition changes. Like in a given day now, you know, back in the day, it was every single day you stopped these places in the morning and you would order the same thing. And then on the way home, you would do it every single day again. Now, you know, your commute still is, for all intents and purposes, an hour each way anywhere sucks. So you're making it work. And so what has changed, and how are you consuming food now? What are some typical meals look like for you?
Oh man, I am one of the pickiest eaters on the planet. There is a lot of stuff I don't like. It'd be easier if you said what do you eat as opposed to what don't you eat, because that list is very long. You know, so right now, to handle the commute thing, I have my big old Yeti cup filled with water, and I drink probably anywhere from 150 to 200 ounces of water a day.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Yes, I'm keeping it moving constantly. And if I ever feel that urge, because I'm bored in the car and the podcast, I'm listening to the podcast and just start and stop with the car hitting the brakes, I'll start chewing on some ice, and that kind of, cures that whole mouth needing to move and gnaw on something.
Yep.
But then also, you know, every morning I have one package of apple and cinnamon oatmeal every morning, you know, on the dot every single morning. And then lunch, believe it or not, because again, I am a very picky eater, I actually have peanut butter and jelly every single day.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, every single day. And then I have a cup of some Smart Pop popcorn, the white cheddar, because it's like 40 calories in a cup, which is phenomenal. And then for dinner, it really varies. I usually will go a little bit heavier on dinner. Like, for example, you know, we used to have I'd have two turkey burgers and some mashed potatoes and green bean. Now I just eat one turkey burger.
Yeah.
And so I'm ultimately at around 1500 to 1600 calories a day from the 3000 that I used to be. So I pretty much just cut it in half,
sure,
basically, is what I've done. And then Sunday is my cheat day. So I get up, I weigh in, I go to the gym, do my weight machines for all my toning stuff. And then it's whatever I want. So you're talking about Instagram stories with 12 beers. Well, I go hard on Sunday because my ass is back to work on Monday and I don't miss a Monday ever. So I'll go hard on that Sunday and I eat whatever I want. And literally, I mean, it's a struggle. Sometimes I wish I could eat a little less, but I think from my mental standpoint, I need that day to just say, Gary, do what you want, bro, because on Monday you're back to work. So yep. Sunday, let it loose. I mean, eat, you know, if you want to eat half a pizza, go right ahead. You want to drink 12 beers, go right ahead. You want to have ice cream, go right ahead. You want a steak and cheese, chicken wings, whatever you want. Do it all Sunday because Monday you ain't getting it no more.
Yeah.
And that's it. So with that mindset, I'm able to keep it in check and under control. And then if I get a sweet urge during the week, I'll get a Snickers bar right before I go into the gym with all the peanuts and stuff in there. And it gives me that feel like I'm cheating a little bit, but yep, it's not super bad. And I get the one with the extra peanuts for more protein. and I eat a Snickers bar every day before I go and work out.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, it just goes to show you that you can find something custom to you and still make it work. It doesn't have to be what somebody else says or what Google says. You can figure out stuff that works. And then when it stops working, then you just change it up a little bit. That's kind of my philosophy.
Yeah, I've been doing nutrition counseling for years, and I have one thing that just drives me batty about this. But there was a time where I was doing consulting for clients that were in Europe or they were in Australia, and one thing that the United States has more than any other place that I've seen in terms of this thought on dieting is this all or nothing mentality. Like the thought is.
Yeah.
That, like, I had a client earlier today who asked me, she said, can you give me some more direction on what I shouldn't be eating? And I told her, look, here's the thing. I want you to think about this as, what are you going to be doing in 30 years? How can you make this sustainable? Because the problem with a lot of diets is either it's a crash or, you know, it's a ketogenic diet where all the carbs are stripped away, or it's low carb, or it's low fat, or whatever there's something. And so, the problem with that, though, is like, how long can you keep that up? If you go and do, you know, you go and you have a holiday dinner with your family in November or December, or November and December, or November, December and January, you're pretty much asking for weight gain if you don't have something sustainable like what you're describing, where you and also the mental health behind a cheat day is so critical. I use MyFitnessPal as well, but Fridays, I don't count anything. And since we're leaving town tomorrow, today is really my Friday. So I don't track anything on Fridays. And then Sunday mornings, I always have chocolate chip pancakes with my daughter and my wife. And it's like, I don't bother tracking any of it because, first of all, tracking pancakes would be incredibly hard to do. figuring out a way to, okay, the flour's this and this is all that. I'm not a believer in cutting certain macronutrients out or cutting certain types of foods out unless you have a food sensitivity. Like I don't have dairy simply because I can't have, my stomach just goes in knots. I wish I could. I used to have ice cream 7 days a week and it was a part of my diet regimen and it kept me sane. And then one day it was like a light switch went off and suddenly my stomach just couldn't do it anymore. So now it's like a bowl of cereal every night and it keeps me just, you know, I need this for my sanity. For sure.
Sure.
You talked about, well, this is going to tie in with a couple of things. So you're pretty vocal on Instagram about, you know, the wraps and the, you know, the selling of things and the selling of products and wraps and skinny teas and all the, like, there's a lot of noise in the fitness world, especially, you know, there's a lot of like products out there, like It Works and Advocare and things like that, where, you know, my opinion on things like that is that, things that are like wraps, I think that the pseudoscience behind it, and by the way, I'm not saying really anything bad about placebo effects and things like that. I think are actually very good, because the mind does some strange things with the body, and it can do very, very crazy things, and it can heal people of chronic pain simply by neural patterns that have to do with the body. But you know, a wrap, if somebody puts it on and they take an after picture, I think a lot of times what it's doing is sort of taking a lot of the hydration out of that part of the body. And so you look slimmer in the moment. And then as far as like Advocare supplements can be, I could take you to Vitamin Shop and show you, here's the equivalent to all of these products, and they're half the price.
Yep.
You talked earlier about there were a lot of things that were not working for you when you've tried this several times. And then you've also talked about a lot of the noise that goes on in the fitness world. It seems to me like there has to be a parallel between the two.
I'm here to disrupt the hell out of that world. 'Cause let me tell you, I see a lot of these people and they're jumping right into these things. And I don't think maybe they're educated about it. And it's just people that are looking to just make a buck off people. I think it's so wrong. You know, I get these people 200 times a day that are, you know, follow, unfollow, DMing me because I like one of their photos where they're saying, "Hey man, I'm selling this, I'm selling that." And it just really irks me. I have always put on my page that this is an all natural thing. Like, I'm going to make it work naturally without a single enhancement of any kind or any kind of, you know, wrap or anything.
Yeah.
I want this journey to be built on that foundation that I did not ingest one thing in my body or put anything on my body that to try to enhance this in any way. Like, literally, I go to the gym 5 days a week. I eat my peanut butter and jelly and my Snickers before I go. And, you know, I have my oatmeal. I got my portion control. Like, I literally want to let people know that you can make this work without throwing all your money away. Because I did that. I bought the Slim Fast shakes and I bought, you know, these different pills 10 years ago, the stuff that just didn't make me feel good.
Yep.
And it just doesn't work. And I want to stop people. I want to save their money. I go in there and I tell them, I'm not here to sell you anything, but the idea that you can, in fact, make it work with what's in your mind. Once you get out of your own way, because that 99% of the time, I feel like that's what the problem is. You just think, oh, I got to have this. I got to have this enhancement, you know, in my house. I'm like, okay, well, I got PlayStation 4. Well, now I got to have the PlayStation 4 Pro to make it better. Or now I got to have the PSVR to make it better.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not a perfect comparison, but it's pretty damn close.
Right.
And it's like, I need this. I need X, Y, and Z so I can get to A, B, C. And that's not the way. Our mind gets so much in our way all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to disrupt this world in some way that I can to let people know, save your money. Just get a little bit of willpower. Believe in yourself, love yourself, get the patience, and be consistent about it, and you can make this work. Because as I've always said, hard work always wins, which, by the way, if you were to type in hardworkalwayswins.com, you would get my story, and I'm going to constantly update that as my journey goes along. I'm writing a book about it right now, which is kind of interesting that I have that benefit that as I'm doing the journey, I can document it, and then at some point, once the journey is over, I can release this book onto the world and show them that, hey, in fact, I did this without spending all this money. I think all I spent was $20 for a gym membership a month, and I made it happen. So I feel like people can do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that's awesome. So somehow you got, that's a great URL and you've already purchased it.
I did.
That's awesome.
I already trademarked it as well.
So yeah. Gosh, that's
anybody's listening.
Yeah.
Get any ideas.
That's great. You know, gosh, it's such a good idea. I wish that, and maybe if I would have been a little bit older when I went through mine, I would have really considered doing something like that. 'Cause I don't think I mean, I didn't really talk about my, 'cause I lost about 100 pounds and I didn't talk about it until, like, people that knew me day to day saw that I looked really different. And I did a large chunk of it over the course of a summer between grades. And so,
yeah,
you know, I left, and the people that you don't see during the summer, I came back 3 months later, and by then I was probably 30 or 40 pounds. And even 30, 40 that's a lot when you, if you're starting at 235, 240, which is where I was at,
right.
It looks a lot different to the, you know, to the naked and untrained eye, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you this, Eddie. I don't know if you follow this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk. Do you follow him?
It's funny because a couple people actually have sent me his name and said I should follow him, and I still have not.
Hunter, you have to. Because you talk about how I'm on Instagram and all this stuff. Like, I've learned from him. I've learned so much from him just following his vlogs. The amount of stuff he gives away for free, it very much inspires the way that I look at it, in the sense of, I'm giving away all this content for free. I'm not trying to sell anybody anything, because when I have like a book that comes down the line, people are going to be asking me for it. I'm not going to be begging them. I'm not going to be shoving a URL in your face every post. And that goes back to how you do Instagram, but we could have a whole Instagram strategy. That could be a whole podcast on its own, but you got to check him out, because he talks about how there's more in the documentation of going of the journey of where you're going, as opposed to creating content around what you do. There's more value in the journey getting there than there is the actual destination of what you have to offer. So I've taken that and I've just tried to, amplify that 1,000% and put out literally everything. Every day I'm putting up a story. I got like a song of the day I'm doing. I got, I'm drinking beers with my friends, getting drunk, as you've seen. I mean, I go hard on Sunday, but then I'm in the gym Monday and I tell stories about it through Instagram and I post on Instagram about it. And I'm trying to, do stuff on Facebook here soon. And so all of these things, they all tie into that. So, I mean, you run a business, you know all about that, but you should definitely check him out. I think he'll inspire you as well as he has the other 2 million people that follow him on Instagram and all these other platforms.
Yeah, I'm looking at his right now. There's a picture of him with The Rock, and The Rock's my man. So that's cool for sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm helping a friend of mine kind of launch her own business. It's actually similar in the space that I'm in, but a lot of what she talks about is sort of advertising the business in a very, very passive way on her social media, because what people are to fall in love with is the story around the path that she's trying to get in order to get to the CrossFit Games. And inherently people will become inspired by that and by the product. And so I changed my strategy a little bit about a month ago into doing more of that stuff and doing more content. So like I do, usually somewhere between 4 to 7 videos per week, but they're tips. Like for instance, I did one last week where it talked about the supplement industry and how oversaturated it is, and people buy the glutamines and the creatines and all these different things. And I'm like, for most people, if you sleep well, then maybe take a magnesium pill, and that's probably about it. $7 for 3 months worth probably would be the best bang for your buck of anything. If you don't sleep well, then I would say go and buy a melatonin supplement. It'll help you sleep well. Again, you're talking about $8 for probably 3 or 4 months worth. And so, because when I was in college, like I remember I would buy, this was after I lost a bunch of weight, and at this point I was actually trying to put on muscle mass. And so it's like I would, I'd max out my credit cards. I'd spend my student loan money to pay off my credit cards, which actually gave me a great credit score by the time I graduated from college, with no interest loans, by the way, because I was doing it that way. But I would spend a bunch of this credit card money on supplements, and some of them, because it's an unregulated industry, first of all. So like glutamine, I would have terrible breakouts in my face. And, you're out for a college kid, like to spend $40 on a bottle that makes you more or less have some kind of an illness. It's terrible, right? So, there's too much of it out there. So I'm in total agreement with you. And maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like, when I looked at your account a couple of months ago, you did not have nearly the amount of followers that you have now. Is that because you now have 4 digits of followers, so you're over 1,000. I feel like it wasn't even close to that 2 or 3 months ago. Is that right?
Oh God. Yeah. Let's talk about it. I'm not one of these guys. I don't stray away from the details or the numbers and all that. Like we can absolutely talk about it, because it goes back to that thing I mentioned about, there's a lot of guys out there pumping up their numbers or trying to pump up their numbers. Yep. And I get these guys all day long who follow you for one day and then they unfollow you. Yeah, because you didn't follow them back. And it's like, that's not the way to run a business.
Which I didn't even know was a thing until you talked about it last week, by the way.
Oh my God. it is such a thing. I have an app that I track all this stuff with. We'll share that type of stuff off the air. But, I have an app where I track all this stuff and I can see, who's following, who's unfollowing. And yes, So I went and I followed probably 1,000, 2,000 people right off the bat, because in the weight loss space, you know, there's a whole community on Instagram, and I wanted to try to get to know these people. And many of them came and followed me back. Before I started this whole campaign, it was like 130 people that followed me.
Yeah.
That's about the number. And that's real talk. I could have said, oh, no, I had 300 or 400. I had 130. That's real talk right there.
Yeah.
And I went and followed over 1,000 people. And I actually, here's the crazy idea. I actually engaged with these people. I actually liked photos. I actually commented on photos. I actually sent a few DMs for people that didn't have the thing that says, please don't DM me, because I get why they'd say that, because there are a lot of people that have that. And I actually engaged with these people and I actually followed them and won a lot of them over. There was a lot of them that, you know, they didn't follow me back for 2 or 3 weeks later, and that was fine. I didn't, you know, I have a policy where I don't unfollow somebody unless it's been like a month and they just straight haven't followed me back or liked the thing. Okay, I'm not going to win you over in a month.
Right.
You know, I give it a couple of weeks. And what I found was I ended up connecting with so many people, and I've made so many new friends, yourself included, in this community. And I've learned a lot about, you know, people and their journeys and what they go through. And it's not all that different from what I'm going through. So the point here is, or as Gary V would say, the punchline is that these people aren't going to give a crap about you if you don't give a crap about them.
Right.
So as you think about it from a business space, you got to really understand the people you're marketing to. You have to understand these people. You have to care about these people to a certain extent in order to get them to care about what you're doing. Because if you just say, oh, I'm this guy, you know, buy this, they don't care. They're not clicking on it. They're not liking it. I see people doing this all day long, and it's the wrong way to go about it. You get to know these people. And by the way, I have nothing to sell any of these people. So my strategy is I just want to get to know these people and communicate with them. And I've made several friends. So, you know, there's no harm in that.
What, is there something like in the, you know, say that we're 5 years down the road, by that point, you're 3 or 4 years removed from hitting that initial goal. You know, what comes next? I guess even at this time next year, what comes next? If we did this exact same interview in a year, what are we talking about?
Well, I've got a very specific plan, and that is, like I said, probably around June or July, I'm going to hit this number. I would imagine that writing this book is going to take a little bit longer, and I don't want to rush it, but I want to find a publisher. I want to go the traditional route, and I also want to put it, you know, Amazon, ebook it. And then I want to travel the country and meet people and actually help people face to face. I do a lot of that on Instagram now. I could be the kind of guy who says, oh, let's jump on a call, $50 an hour, and I'll talk to you and consult with you and tell, you know, hold your hand and tell you everything's going to be okay. Or I can just be that guy who just, I talk to these people all day long, every day, with nothing exchanged. I don't ask anything of them. I just talk with them, and because I care. I'm not here to sell them 10 different products.
Yeah.
So my idea is then once the book comes out is to go and travel the country and meet with these people, you know, go all over the country and try to take this message, you know, try to take in some free speaking events. Say, hey, I'm offering to speak at this weight loss conference or whatever. I don't even know if that's a thing, but I'm going to go find them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go connect with these people one-on-one and in groups and just continue to spread my interpretation of a weight loss journey and not do exactly what I say, but here's a different mindset to think with and save some money in your wallet while you're at it. Because let's be honest, this stuff, these wraps and pills and all this stuff get expensive really quick. So that is ultimately the plan. So to finish this thing off, and the journey never stops from there. I'm still going to be absolutely on Instagram, posting workouts and stuff like that. No question. And I'm going to still be interacting with people. No question about that. But get the book, tour the country, meet people, help people, and eventually try to make that my full-time thing where I'm just traveling around, talking and meeting new people and trying to help encourage and motivate. That's all I want to do.
What about shows like the, you know, Drastic Weight Loss? I think fortunately, shows like The Biggest Loser are doing a little bit of a better job now, where they're talking about like body composition and it's not just pound for pound and things like that. But I think a lot of people get caught up in those kind of messages because those people in 2 months are losing 200 pounds. You know, what do you think about shows like that that really advocate a crash diet?
I don't like it. I think that when I look at what I've spent the last 9 months now, that I've gone in 5 days a week for an hour and a half consistently, and these people get paid to go on a show and crash diet. Like, I don't like that. I think that you really have to invest long term, because guess what happens? You go on that show. Cool. You get paid money. Cool. You lose a bunch of weight. Cool. And then what happens 6 months from now? Let's do the where are they now. Now they're 600 pounds because they've blown way up and it's out of control. You know, because they learned about these crash diets, and then they say, oh, I'm famous. And even if you're not famous, even if you're just on a crash diet, you're Joe whatever on a crash diet, and then you get to where you want to be, and now you kind of cruise, you put cruise control on, you stop going to the gym regularly, now you're in trouble. Now you're ballooned back up. You might even gain 20, 30, 40 more pounds than you had originally. Yeah. Because you just kind of put on cruise control and just kept going. And that's the wrong idea. You have to take it off slowly. A guy, coworker at my job, to his credit, he helped me get started. And he's like, you got to take this thing slow. You got to really, you know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You got to go for the long game here. That's what it's all about.
For sure. I'm so surprised that like people don't really see it that way. Like, especially, you know, people that I know that like spent the time and energy to go to college and they're investing in a career, and they can see that as a very long-term thing to get at this, you know, this reward at the end, but it's like years and years and years and years and years down the road. But for whatever reason, weight loss is seldom looked at in that way. I remember there was a great episode of WWF Tough Enough from 2001 where Shawn Michaels came and spoke to the kids that were on the show. And he said, and this is talking about a 10-year wrestling career. He said, that you're going to live a long life, and at the end of that long life, you're going to look back on this experience as being a wrestler, and it's going to be about that big. And it was, you know, it was an inch or whatever that he was making with his finger. But, you know, that's kind of how a lot of experiences in life are. But for weight loss, it's like, this is your health that you're making an investment in. You know, you need to see the payoff needs to be years down the road. And especially, and I know that, I mean, you're going to go through, I promise you, you're at 9 months now. There's going to be a time in the next year where that's going to evolve a little bit. It could be, when I mean evolve, it could be the, you know, the amount of calories that you're taking in a day, or you may dabble in some certain, you know, some other types of things. You may get into different supplements. You may try a powerlifting program. Like, who knows? Because at the beginning, when I, for the first few months, like I did a lot on the stairs, and for several years, I would do 2 or 3 workouts a week where the goal was 60 minutes on the stairs. I called it the Ironman workout. Right. But 60 minutes on the stairs. I'd do 20 or 25 minutes of weights, and then I would take off. And really, for me at the time, it was calories in, calories out. But once I got to the point of where I wanted to be, what I wanted to look like, I did a lot more bodybuilding type workouts. But I was still getting, I became complacent after a good, I mean, there was 10 years of doing it that style, and then I found CrossFit and weightlifting, and then I started doing competitive weightlifting about 2 years later. And that's something that, you know, who knows, like by the time that you would reach that, you're going to be in your mid to late 40s, and who knows what you'll like then, right? Like, I never imagined myself being into an iron sport. But the nice thing is that once you can sort of get through these, you know, the weight loss goal in its totality, like the first component of it, because that's the biggest piece. Like, people have to fall in love with the gym and the process, because otherwise they're never going to stick around. If the only thing that they want to do is just lose weight but not find a second love, then I don't think they're going to hang around for very long. And I get the sense that you love what you're doing.
Oh God, I feel guilty if I'm not out of the bed. Like on the weekend, for instance, I still go, of course, but I feel guilty if I'm not out of bed by like 10 a.m. and getting ready to go to the gym at that point. Like, it's really a thing of where I can't imagine a day if I didn't go. And there have been times where, like, I mean, you've seen on my Instagram, I go to a lot of concerts. So like, there's been times where there's been a concert on a gym day, and all I do is I just go to the gym a day earlier or a day after, but I never miss one of my days. So, you know, if a concert's on Wednesday, I'll go to the gym either the Tuesday before or the Thursday after.
Yeah.
Preferably the Thursday after, because as I prepare for the weigh-in on Sunday. I mean, obviously, as much as I talk about, I don't care really about the number, and that is 100% true. Of course, I still want to try to see what I can get that week. So I put all my really tough stuff right before that weigh-in, that, you know, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and I put everything as much as I got into it, so I can get the best number possible, and then, you know, it's on to the next number, pretty much.
Yeah, so I'm really curious about, so you do Sunday, do you do evening weigh-ins on Sundays?
No, I do in the morning.
In the
first
morning.
Thing.
Okay.
That way I can cheat all day.
Okay. Yeah, because yeah. I do back when I was tracking this stuff a lot more religiously, I would do Friday morning weigh-ins because my thought was like Friday, and it sounds actually like it's exactly the same because Friday was my cheat day. And so
yep.
I would, you know, I'd spend the week like, you know, really going crazy with it. And then Friday morning I would weigh in and it would be, you know, mine by the end there. I mean, I was at a point where it was like, when you're 135 pounds, how much more can you really lose? And
yeah.
It was starting to get down to where it was just maintenance for months on end. And it was like, all right, well, let's pack on some muscle mass now, because ultimately that's probably gonna be a little bit better for my soul long term than to see the same weight for another year.
Oh, sure, so sure. I feel like my weigh-ins, the weekly, will probably stop once I hit the goal, and then we can back it up to every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. Just, you know, I'm not going to quit as far as, like, how many days I go to the gym. Like, that will all stay exactly the same. And, you know, my goal number is 185. I just remember watching a UFC fight, like a 185 fight. I'm like, that looks like a good shape of a body, you know, like, not necessarily the muscle, but just the overall size. And I'm like, you know, I never remember myself as a teenager under 200 pounds. So let's go 185.
Yeah.
Screw it. And then, you know, realistically, I might walk around after I hit that number, probably between 190 and 200, if we're just being completely real here. Yep. But I'm okay with that. I'm good with it. I just want to hit that number.
Have you followed a guy? You ever heard of a guy? His name is John Glaude, but his all of his social media, YouTube and everything, is Obese to Beast. You ever heard of him?
I've heard the name. I haven't seen any of his content. I actually did an interview with a guy on Instagram yesterday, and he was telling me, well, he didn't give me all the details, but he was kind of telling me about this guy, just mentioning the name. So what's kind of the 411 on him?
Yeah. So, I found him on YouTube. I don't even remember what I think I was looking for, like, meal prep, like help with meal prep maybe 2 years ago. And, actually it was probably more like 3 years ago. And I found this guy, Obese to Beast. At the time, he had a YouTube following of, I don't know, I might have been his 300th subscriber or something like that, or 200th subscriber. I was like, oh, well, this guy's got a lot of subscribers, so let's see what he has to offer. And his whole premise at that time was, I'm just going to record what I eat. You know, it's going to be a vlog style, what I'm eating for a day. He did that one day a week. He worked at Starbucks. He got up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, and his food was very basic. He lived at his parents' house. I think he was 20 years old or something at the time. This was in 2014. Right. And then in 2015, after he started getting a following, he did a video about all of his loose skin. One thing that, and I, it took me years to get, once I'd lost 100 pounds, being able to compensate all the loose skin that I had by gaining muscle mass was by far what took the longest. And so he was very similar. He lost 200 pounds or something like that throughout the whole course of his journey. Cause he was big. He was like 350, 400. And now I think he's gotten all the way down to 185. Cause he did like a fitness show too, like in the last year, but he did he did this video on YouTube and he had it professionally done, which is probably what really caught the eye. Most of his videos usually had, I don't know, 2,500 views or so, 3,000 views. And then he did this one video about his loose skin, and it was the most vulnerable piece that you'd ever see anybody do. He's standing in this completely dark room, and he's literally just pulling on the extra skin in his chest and his stomach and his legs and his arms, just saying, hey, like, I've always hid this. I don't go to the beach. I don't take my shirt off at a pool because I'm ashamed of this, but this is me getting it out there. It got 14 million views in a week or something. And then Ellen DeGeneres contacted him, had him on her show, and then bought him a brand new Ford Mustang Cobra, and then his career just boomed. He got his YouTube count for followers is probably up to 800,000 or 900,000 now. And I'm looking at his Instagram, which he hasn't had Instagram that long, is at 330,000. He lives in San Diego. Yeah, so he lost 180 pounds.
Wow.
And now he is all into, like, CrossFit and stuff like that. But it's been really crazy. I've sent him a couple of, like, I've commented on some of his posts over the last couple of years, like, you know, keep going, like, you're kicking ass, you're doing this, because he would go a little bit stagnant, or he'd become frustrated, or, you know, there might be a variety of things, but it's like the guy has persevered. Like, it's been pretty amazing to see. And the fact that, like, I was a subscriber in his first week of doing this is pretty cool to see. Every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll watch those first couple of videos, because it was, like, shot on a cell phone, and, you know, no, now he's got all this professional gear, and, you know, he moved out of his parents' house, and he's sponsored by a bunch of companies, and, like, Quest Nutrition has him at their headquarters in Los Angeles to do videos all the time. And it really shows, like, this was a passion thing for him. Like, it was not his job. He just loved the concept of weight loss, and he just kept recording and kept grinding and kept just getting the message out there. I think so maybe 2 years in, he started selling t-shirts, and then he had an ebook. I rarely hear him talk about any of this stuff. But I'm sure that kind of stuff has sold a lot I think that his income is basically from YouTube ads, like, you know, the ads that are coming from the videos that he's putting up. He's not paying for Google AdWords or anything. And then from whatever the kickback the sponsors are giving him, and then Quest Nutrition for doing videos for them. Outside of that, I don't think that there's anything that he's selling and getting paid for. It's just like, I really, really would love to interview him, because he's such an engaging guy. And his story's been, I mean, it's one of the coolest ones I've ever seen. And it sounds like you're on your way.
Yeah, I've got to look him up on Instagram, because that's primarily where I hang. That's how I talk. I'm like, that's where I hang out, is Instagram. That's my main place. I am trying to branch out in other places, but I will look him up on YouTube and on Instagram and start taking in some of his content and seeing, you know, kind of his kind of where he's at now, and maybe go back, you know, like you were talking about, some of the older videos and see what that's all about, because it sounds like we're along the same line. Because I think my number that I had to lose was like 187 pounds total is what I have to lose, and I've lost 90 of that. So I don't know that I'm halfway, but I'm close.
So this is totally not like good podcast etiquette. Is your cell phone in front of you right now?
Yes, it is.
So open up your Instagram. I just tagged you in a post that he did with his before picture. It was like a month before he started trying to lose weight, and then something that was taken, what's the date on this, August 31st. So it's not the most current, but I mean, it's amazing. I love these types of weight loss stories. I think that there's so much shitty stuff in the world, especially if you live near DC. I can only imagine that it's nice to have good messages of positivity and stuff that everybody can kind of relate to, wanting to lose a few pounds. But then when you actually jump in and you're trying to lose hundreds of pounds, it's something that a lot of people can't even quantify. They don't think that it can be done. Like, people have enough time sitting there and complaining about losing 10 pounds, and you are losing 10 a month right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's been such a long road. Like, I look back at the video I posted this morning, that video really hit me hard when I posted it. There was a post, oh God, I want to say last week, where I'm sitting in a chair and I just look like Jabba the Hutt. I mean, I'll make fun of myself. I look like Jabba the freaking Hutt. Okay. And then the picture next to me, this was probably a Transformation Tuesday, I'm assuming. And the photo next to that is me in a barber's chair from like 2 weeks ago. And it's just night and day. And I sat there in my car bawling like a baby because I couldn't believe that this was real life. Like, how do I let myself reach this point? How did I let it go so bad? And I just didn't care for the longest time. I just let it go. And I just, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm just going to go and get my McDonald's for the day, or I'm going to go and get 2 steak and cheeses or whatever that is. And it's just like, wow, this is where that got me. That's where those choices got me. And then I look at the other guy and I say, this guy is confident. He's driven. Yep. He's motivated. He's ready to go because he put in the hard work. And as I say, hard work always wins. And that is living proof right there. Like, I tell people, I've had people, this is what got me fired up a couple of months ago. I'll share this with you. I'm in the gym and I got a girl that works there that says, hey, can you, you got a second? I said, yeah, no problem. I'm on my way out. And she says, you know, a couple of the people here at the gym, we've been looking at, you know, we're looking at your picture, Planet Fitness, when they scan your ID, there's your picture. And that was taken when I started. And she said, we look at your picture here and we see you in here in the gym and we're just wondering, what's your big secret? And it took me every bit of restraint to not like just have a meltdown on this poor girl. But I just said to her in the most impactful way I could say it, I'm like, hard work is not a fucking secret.
Yep.
It's not. Like, check the log. You have a log. Like, you scan my ID. You have a log of every day I've been in here. Just check out all those days. And I said, after you do that, go to my Instagram because I posted every single workout that I've done. There's no secret here. There's just consistency and hard work. I go in there and I burn off 1,000 calories per workout, and I go in 5 days a week. Now you do the math and you tell me what my big secret is.
Yeah.
There's no big secret to hard work. That's the thing. And it just took everything in me not to just go crazy, because I'm just like, everybody thinks you have this big secret or you're lucky or, you know, it's a big secret of what you're doing. It's not a secret. I just put in the work and I didn't give up in that Q1, as you mentioned earlier. I didn't give up. I just kept going. I didn't stop. And that's it. And I have a whole feed now of this. I have an Instagram feed. People can scroll through months and months and months of these same posts, and they can see that there's no secret here. This is all logged. It's all documented for that reason. So nobody can say that I'm full of shit when I say I've lost all this weight. It's right here. Look at the pictures. Look at the workouts. It's all right here in one place. You can see everything. I'm not hiding anything. It's all right there.
It kind of blows my mind to go back and think, like, I would have started following you in March. Just based on the timeline, and that you had started in January. So there's two observations I have. The first one is that it's tough for me, because if I see a picture of you every single day, just like somebody that lives with you, like, they obviously know that you're losing weight, but they don't see the drastic change unless they see the side by side. So I look at the video of you from the car and you're talking, and what I see is, I see the determination in the eyes. And that's a lot of times when I see people that are, whether they're in an iron sport or they're seeking out something big, an entrepreneur, maybe that's trying to open a brick and mortar business or something like that. You can see this look in their eyes that like something has changed. I do not see that sitting when you're this picture you're talking about sitting on the couch that you were referencing earlier. I don't see confidence, and I know exactly what you're saying, but that look in the eyes in the car, like that's the eye of the tiger, right? Like that's what the song is about.
Yeah. Well, not even just that. Listen to the audio. Listen how out of breath I was. Yep. Just how much of out of breath I was to even be talking for that 20-second clip. And you can see just a huge difference. Like the stairs that I do now, kind of the motivation behind that was, there used to be a time, Eddie, where I would go up one flight of stairs and sound like I did on that video, out of breath.
Yep.
One flight of stairs. Something as simple as that. Something as simple as getting off the couch, out of breath. Tying my shoes, out of breath.
Yep.
Getting up out of bed, out of breath. This is what my life used to be. So I said, I'm going to get on these stairs and I'm going to keep going. And now the other day I climbed 205 floors. That's almost two World Trade Centers that I climbed in an hour.
Yeah.
And I do it because I don't want to have that problem where I'm out of breath, tying my shoes, getting out of bed, getting off the couch, going up one flight of stairs. I can climb 200 flights of stairs and I feel good. I'm sweating, but I'm pumped up. I'm hyped up. Let me climb 200 more. Yeah. I'm ready. Like that's the mindset, is that I have this problem. So now I'm trying to fix it. And I find different things where I used to have problems getting out of bed, getting off the couch. And now I'm not out of breath anymore. I'm out of breath now because I'm so hyped up when I think about this and talk about it. But no longer getting out of a chair is going to get me out of breath to where I nearly die because I jumped up out of a chair. Not an issue anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, man, we are just about at an hour. This is great. So cool. The infection, you were in the hospital. You've gone on. You've lost. You're at almost 100 pounds now. You're about halfway to the goal, and you're trucking along. So. By all means, I'll put the link, obviously, to like your social media and stuff in the description. This has been great. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.